Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, today, of course, is the annual running of the New York City Marathon. There are something like 50,000 runners from all over the world competing. And, you know, it's just a great event. And it really, to me, it always underscores what a great sport running is. Not only just in terms of being competitive, but also in terms of staying in shape physically for one's entire life. And certainly, if you have a youngster who enjoys running at a relatively young age, obviously it's important to encourage them to keep running, not just through their middle school and high school years, but beyond. Because obviously, as we've seen from the marathons here in New York City and Boston and around the world, running is so important. It's a great, great physical activity for anybody to stay in shape and to basically, you know, feel good about themselves. And, of course, when it comes to running, in particular long-distance running, I always like to chat with Joel Pasternak. Now, Joel has been on the show many times. He's based over in New Jersey. He's been a serious runner himself for more than 50 years, and he now works with runners of all ages, everywhere from 7-year-olds all the way up to people in their 70s. He's been coaching actively for 43 years, and along the way, he's competed in several New York City and Boston marathons, and he's been a top finisher in those races along the way. And like most runners, Joel has a passion for the sport that has lasted his entire lifetime, and he shows, you know, no signs of slowing down. And as usual, I have a bunch of questions about running this morning, and I invite, of course, your calls and questions for Joel as well. Of course, our number is 1-877-337-6666. I'd like to remind you, of course, that today is return to day, Eastern Standard Time. The correct time is 8:07. Joel, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. Glad to be on.
Well, thank you, Joel. Now, you know, a lot of questions and a lot of different ways to go with this. I do want to start, though, with this magical story of a long-distance runner, Caitlin Tui. Now, Caitlin Tui, for those listeners who aren't familiar with her, she's just a junior, I believe, at North Rockland High School up in Rockland County. And it seems that every time she competes in a race over the last few years, she not only wins, but she seems to set a new course record. And she's been doing this for several years now, and everybody who follows distance running knows that she certainly seems to be a major star on the rise. So, Joel, let me get right to this. Here's my basic question. What does a runner like Caitlin do that distinguishes her from all of her competitors? I mean, I know she's, of course, faster, but why is she faster? I mean, is it all because she has a God-given ability to run longer and quicker? Is it because of her training methods, her nutrition, mentally tough? I mean, she's only 5'4", but tell me, first of all, what's your impression of Caitlin Tui? And two, why is she so superior to all of her peers?
Well, Rick, you mentioned a lot of good points. She definitely has some God-given ability, some good genetics. Her parents are runners, but her brother also is a very decent runner who's going to the Fordham University.
Mm-hmm.
So there is talent in the family. And when she was seen in fifth grade, the coaches at the running clinic just saw a phenomenal mechanics when she hit the ground. And by the time she was in seventh grade, she was beating freshmen and sophomores in high school.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're talking about, her coach at North Rockland, Brian Diglio. And obviously he's one of those coaches you mentioned, Joel, that I guess had seen Caitlin at a very young age and said, gee, this girl really knows what she's doing. She's well-trained, or she certainly seems to have the right stuff to compete at a higher level. But, you know, if how does... How does a coach or even a parent look upon your youngster and see, you know, what do they have that's going to separate them from the rest? I guess when they're 10 or 11 years old, just a matter of how far they can run and how quickly, correct?
Yes, and what I like most about this situation where I've seen problems over the years is the parents have let the coaches take full control of her training. They don't interfere. They trust the coaches. The coach is very conservative in how many miles she does a week. She does a lot of cross training. She does weightlifting. She does swimming. So a combination of it, it's a good team effort. And again, she has a very high, what's called a VO2 max, which is how much oxygen she can carry every minute through her body. Approximately, I figured she's about at a 66% right now. Mm-hmm. Some of your best runners, Joan Benoit, for example, the 1984 Olympic champion, was in the 78-point range. So Caitlin right now is not that far behind, but there are a lot of warnings that have to be taken into consideration, because just back 5 years ago, a girl named Mary Kane from Bronxville, New York,
right,
she's at the same stage that Caitlin's at, and she decided not to go to college. And they parents and herself decided to go with Alberto Salazar at Oregon because of his success. And one thing led to another as she got better and better. And she was the first high school runner ever to qualify in the World Championships. But now she's just starting to try to make a comeback. She had many injuries. And as we all know, girls develop so much more differently than boys.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the case with Mary King, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you, and my guest this morning is Joel Pasternak. We're talking about long-distance running. And that is, okay, so your youngster, your mom or dad, and obviously you're happy and thrilled that your youngster seems to have some real talent as a runner. And then, okay, what do we do? How do you find a good coach? What do you do to help that youngster develop as they go into the preteen and teenage years? Now, in Caitlin's case, you mentioned she has both her mom and dad are runners and have been pretty much all their lives. And Brian Diglio, the North Rockin coach, you know, came into the picture. But, you know, how do parents know, particularly those moms and dads who aren't familiar with running, how do they know how to get a good coach? And the second question, of course, is, let me ask that question first, Joel. How do you find a good coach for your youngster when it comes to running?
Well, your New York Road Runners has a very good youth program. They can contact them. Mm-hmm. The USATF in New Jersey or any USATF organization throughout the United States, you can contact them and find out about youth running clubs. Some towns have recreation clubs. So there are some good avenues to approach to find out. And sometimes you're lucky enough, you have a gym teacher that notices your child in school and points it out to the parents. So that's a good way to start.
And by the way, folks, we'll take your calls and comments, of course, at 1-877-337-6666. Joel, you mentioned in passing, and this is something that I think parents may not, you know, always take into consideration as their youngsters grow, and that is the onset of adolescence. And obviously, we all know, having gone through teenage years ourselves, things change a lot when you get to be 13 or 15 or 17 years old, whether you're male or female. Obviously, your body goes through a lot of physical development and changes. Caitlin is, as I said, she's probably 16, I believe. She's a junior in high school. Obviously, she's been developing with all sorts of other training methods. You mentioned she swims. She does some weight training. What about, how do you, when you work with kids in their teenage years, what do you look for? How do you, what are the telltale signs as to whether or not they're on the right path, or perhaps they're going to take a detour and things aren't going to work out?
Well, I like to see, especially in my recreation groups and high school groups, the kids that have some good endurance or have some good basic speed, and maybe they're more in line to go into the track events. You don't find a lot of problems in the track events, your runners that run the 400 meters and down, of having the issues that your long-distance runners come.
Yeah.
It seems that your sprinters are more muscle-built and not as thin as your long-distance runners, and I think that's where some of the problems lie, that some of these runners and the coaches are missing out on letting their runners get too thin, and they're not working on building up their their muscle mass, because when they hit the ground and the power of hitting the ground, if there's not something in to absorb the shock, they're going to run into shin splints and knee problems and hip problems.
So just to be clear about this, again, with sprinters, you know, we look at sprinters, you know, they're obviously well-developed and very strong in the shoulder areas, the chest areas. But you're saying that that for the long-distance runners, they need some of that as well?
Yes, they do. They definitely do. And if you take some pictures and look at Caitlin and other top distance runners in youth, a lot of them have strong legs, have good arm strength, and that's what helps them. Something very interesting I read about Caitlin is her form is so perfect that if she ran barefoot, she would sunburn her bottom of her feet. Her feet come up that high to her butt.
That's another question I have for you, Joel. What about the use of these days with high tech? And obviously, you know that runners for some years have used videotape to look and see how they run, their actual format and style and structure. Are there other technological advances these days that runners do to see how to perfect their running style?
Well, besides the running style and videotaping and putting them through a lot of different drills to get them more efficient and economical when they run, I've seen a lot of coaches take into their studies of their teams, making them run with a heart rate monitor.
Uh-huh.
And they run with the heart rate monitor. They're each given a certain heart rate that they're allowed to train at. There's a certain formula called the Carvonen method that's spelled Carvonen. And that's a formula to tell you what range of your 75% you should be in so you don't overtrain. And if these runners come back and the coach sees on each monitor if someone went and ran harder than they should have for that day, they will be given the day off the next day. So a lot of science on the physiology of running has gone into making runners run smarter, not necessarily harder.
I'm going to come back to that later on in the hour, Joel, because I want to talk about training methods today as compared to what they were perhaps when you and I were growing up, because obviously things have changed, things have advanced. But clearly, this is all, I mean, look, the fact is people love to run. As I mentioned early on, it's a great sport, and you certainly are a testament to that, you're running all your entire life. But the fact is there are things that change over the course of time, and parents and coaches have to be aware of that. All right, let me take a pause. We are talking about running today. Obviously, it's the New York City Marathon. My guest is Joel Pasternak, who obviously has been on the show before and has talked about the ins and outs of running, what parents and coaches and kids should know about running. And, of course, I'll be glad to take your calls at 1-877-337-6666. In fact, when I come back from a Dave Uram's update, we'll get some calls in here. So by all means, stay with me. Back with more after this timeout. And back here on the Sports Edge, it is, in fact, of course, the Sunday New York City Marathon, and 50,000 runners are out there braving chilly temperatures but a sunny atmosphere to go out and run 26.2 miles. I can just imagine. I was not very good at long-distance running. I was more of a sprinter. And obviously there are differences in terms of training and basically the regimen to prepare for races. We're talking with Joel Pasternak about the development and training of long-distance runners. And, of course, we're taking calls and comments at 1-877-337-6666. And before I forget, Joel, I can remind our listeners, I mean, you've been running all your life. I think you told me you've run close to 150,000 miles in your lifetime. I know you're
not that much. Just 127,000 right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
127,000 miles. I mean, that's unbelievable. And you've run what, 16 marathons? Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Man.
And I was fortunate in '76 to come in 25th in the first five borough New York City marathon, and in '74 I placed 28th at the Boston Marathon. So I've been very fortunate to have some good success.
And friends, if you want, we mentioned early on about if you want to find a coach or more information from somebody who's run for a long time and knows what they're doing, you can always go to Joel's website, which is joelrun.com, joelrun.com, because obviously Joel coaches pretty much, extensively for runners of all ages. Joel, let's get some calls in here as promised. Let's start with Louie over in Long Beach. Louie, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good, Louie. How are you?
Hi, Louie.
I got a great question. Oh, great, Joel. I got a great question for you. I've I've coached soccer and lacrosse for over 25 years on a college and high school level. Which do you think is more beneficial to become faster, running uphill or running downhill?
Well, Louis, they're both very good to help. Your running uphill is going to give you more power, your endurance. Running downhill is going to make you faster, but you got to be careful with the downhill because it really pounds the knees, and it's better to do the downhill running on soft surfaces. Also, okay. You mentioned soccer. I've seen some phenomenal soccer athletes who have gotten a little tired of doing soccer and decided to channel their interest into running and have gone on to very good college and high school careers from doing soccer.
Right. Joe, I wanted to ask you, how far would you run downhill when you sprint? I mean, how long of the sprint would it be?
I wouldn't do more than 50, 60 yards. That's about
50,
it.
60. Okay.
And then have a straight as they come downhill because you're simulating like doing running in a soccer or a match or a lacrosse match. Then you want to have a flat area about 60, 60 yards can continue that sprint downhill.
Right. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Louis.
Thanks for the call.
And Joe, let me ask you along those lines, you mentioned about knee injuries. Now, you know, you run for a long time. And I gather the only real concern, medical concern you've had has been with the knee. Is that correct?
Yeah. My right leg, which is 3 1/4 inches shorter than my left leg. When I was born, I came out breech, so my right leg was curved. So as the years of running and tearing meniscus, I've had 6 knee surgeries with 3 years ago having a knee replacement. But right now I have no pain and it's great. So I'm just continuing to go.
Joe, I mean, I've talked to you for some years on the show. You tell me your right leg is shorter than your left leg?
Yeah, 3/4 inches shorter.
And that is that, I mean, obviously we just talked about how many miles you've run over the years and how many marathons you've competed in and done well. And you overcame this? It wasn't a concern for you at all?
No, my leg for many years just assimilated to running like that. But then as time went on and being involved in the sports world of selling sneakers and being on my knees, that wore away a little bit of the cartilage. And I was fortunate that I had a good surgeon that took care of my knees and got me back to running. And it's been okay. And I don't want to worry everybody out there that that's going to happen to them if they run a lot. It just was something that had happened to me because of the way my leg was formed.
And how long ago did you have the knee replacement done? 3 years ago?
It's going to be 3 years ago in January.
And you've been running? You've been fine? It was just obviously
you had to go back to running 4 days a week, 4 or 5 miles a day. And the other days, I do my cross training, my strength training to keep the leg strong.
Geez, that's remarkable. I mean, people, certainly the wear and tear of various joints in the body, whether, and again, I obviously had my hip worked on 3 years ago, and I'm fine now. I'm back to doing what I did before. But, you know, knees or shoulder surgery, that kind of stuff, I'm just impressed that you just picked up where you stopped and you're obviously back doing what you do. It's great. So,
like you said, I have that passion, and I was going to prove that you can come back if you want to do something and just do it properly and listen to your therapist and set a good example and give people advice when they need it, when they have their knee issues issues.
Let's continue with our callers. Let's go to Jericho over in Montclair, New Jersey. Good morning. You're on the fan.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, champ. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Here's one of my favorite running youth of early days and now a star in New Jersey.
Oh, that's good. Jerrica, tell us about Joel.
Yeah, Joel was an amazing coach. He coached me since fourth grade till high school. And ever since I started running with him, I've been improving in almost every single race. I was wondering if you could talk about the transition from high school to college mileage.
Well, it's important. Good question, Jerrica. I know you have phenomenal coaches at Union Catholic, where she is, and she's getting recruited from all over the United States. And I know with her father and mother's help, she's going to pick the right college, and the right coaches will bring you along properly and will not give you the wrong amount of mileage to do. And again, it's a very gradual step in increasing the mileage. And also you have to take in part just not you, Jerrica, but other runners, is there's always a leveling off of your conditioning and the times you hit, and you just have to be patient with it. You don't. I've seen parents say, "Oh, well, my child is stuck at a certain minute mile or whatever. Oh, we got to run 20 more miles a week." No, that's not the way to go. You stick with what they're going through then, and then you wait for things to change, the body to adapt to everything, and they'll be fine. So thanks for the call, Jerrica, and I hope I'll see you down at Homedale and have a great race next week.
Thank you. I'll see you then.
Thanks for the call, okay. Jerrica, and best of luck. And Joel, you mentioned something there which I think a lot of people, you know, you just mentioned about with Jerrica, and you know, the runners, they go through all the rigorous training, a lot of obviously miles during the course of a week, and all of a sudden they seem to sort of plateau out. And as you said, the parents get nervous that, well, my kid is sort of topped out here, so what we should do, Joel, is probably just have him or her run even more. And you're saying, no, it's not the way to go.
That's the wrong conception of the way to do things. It's a natural thing that happens to the male and female bodies, and you've got to be patient with it. I've seen it happen to myself where I hit a plateau, and I just had to stick with it and stick to the plan and not overdo it, not get it. Because the key to being successful is to being consistent. It's not how much you do in 3 months and maybe attain a goal, but then if you're injured or you're tired or something's going wrong, you don't keep that consistency up for the 365 days of the year. And that's where you're going to see your improvement, with the consistency and seeing healthy.
When you say consistency, meaning the training regimen has to be the same all the time?
Well, not necessarily the same, but getting out, if you're 4 days a week or five, and this is, goes for runners of all ages. I've seen runners who they just pack in everything, like getting ready for this New York Marathon, and then they end up having to take 2 or 3 weeks off. I would like to see some runners, marathon runners, be a little bit more conservative in their training to the races, and same with high school races, and then do better throughout the whole year and have better races. I mean, I've had runners I coached in high school that probably could have ran twice as good, but I wanted them to be ready for college, and like you said in your introduction, to go on to run in after college. So I take running as being a way of making your whole life and being cautious with it, and not being a coach that'll say, well, look what I did for this athlete. I'm a great coach.
Yeah.
No. We want to bring along an athlete so they can make it to the next levels.
No, I agree. I think that's a much very enlightened kind of approach. 1-877-337-6666. We're talking about long-distance running with Joel Pasternak. Let's continue. Let's go to Steve over in Jersey City. Steve, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, good morning. Joe, I have a question for you.
Thanks,
any advice for a middle-aged male? I've tried years over and over and over, tried to get into it, just can't do it. I joined a running club. I'm trying to do like a 5K, 10K thing. That I just can't find the love that these people say there is for running. And secondly, any advice for plantar fasciitis and Achilles tendon soreness?
Boy. Okay, well, the love's got to be something that you just all of a sudden get that second wind. You feel that endorphin release after you run. Maybe, Steve, you're going out, and when you run, you're running at a too fast a pace, and you're out of breath. I've always told all of my runners of all ages, when you go out to run, you should be able to converse. If you're running with someone, you should be able to talk and have a natural way to talk together. Or if you're running by yourself, you should be able to converse or even sing a song. And if you can't do that, you're going too fast. So maybe you're pushing yourself, Steve, a little too hard, too fast. You need to stretch before and after your run. You brought up plantar fasciitis. That's a very tough area, the arch area, where a lot of people have a lot of problems, a lot of stretching, getting to a chiropractor, physical therapist with that. So there's things you can do. The club, I think, is a great, because you meet people, you converse with people. So keep hanging in there. I think it'll come along. Just give it a little bit more time.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Let's move on. Let's move on to Frank over in Newton, New Jersey. Frank, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, good morning. This is a great show, by the way. I appreciate it. Morning. I'm 56 years old. I used to be a power lifter and played football, you know, squat 600 pounds. And one day I said, no more power lifting. I'm going to run a marathon. And I lost about 40 or 50 pounds. I ran a marathon. I've done nine of them since. Then right. I had a hip replacement. And since the hip replacement, I've run two marathons. I did one about 5 months after my total hip replacement on the left side.
Good
yeah, because I don't listen to doctors. I'm a very bad patient. But I love running. And my question is like a technical question. I've been trying to find books, and there's been more and more books about running and articles with hip replacements. Is that like a Happy Runners Club or Hippie Runner or whatever? And I just wonder, is it better to run on the balls of your feet or the heels of your feet? I know there's a big difference with that, the impact upon your knees and hips, but what's your advice about that?
Well, I've always found and suggested to my runners to run heel, ball, toe, because you want to bring into action your hip muscles. Even though you've had your hip replacement, that you want to get all the shock to your hips and your thighs. You don't want to hit the knee areas. And if you're running too much on the ball of your feet, a lot of the shock is going to go to the shins and your knees. You might look at the top runners, and they can do that. They're able to, their biomechanics and the way they run and their training programs can run on the ball of their feet and be okay.
Right.
But someone like you, your size, I think the heel, ball, toe method, having the right cushion shoes is important, and keeping up with some cross training, biking, elliptical, keeping up with your strength training of your legs is important. And Dr. Metzl is a very good running doctor in New York, and he has a good book on running, and he might be someone to look into.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Frank.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
I'm glad you mentioned Jordan Metzl. He's obviously been one of the top physicians in this area for quite some time. And, yeah, he does. I know he's written at least one book and maybe a couple others about conditioning, so that's good to know. We're talking about running today with Joel Pasternak, and obviously in light of obviously the New York City Marathon, and curiously, you know, running for a lot of people, you know, for kids, it's as natural as breathing, but obviously it to be competitive running and to develop a passion and a real lifelong appreciation for the sport, you know, you got to know what you're doing, and that's why we're talking to Joel. Again, his website is joelrun.com. All right, let me take a pause here. Joel, when I come back, we'll take more calls about the whole art and science of running. 1-877-337-6666. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, it is Football Sunday, and Mark Melusis and Dave Deal will be here live and in person. And of course, following the Sports Edge, make sure you stick around to hear what's happening in the magical world of the National Football League. And also, a quick note, please mark on your calendars the seminar on sports psychology, along with a book signing of Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed. That's going to take place December 5th at 7 o'clock over in Fairlawn, New Jersey. In fact, it's going to take place at the Fairlawn Rec Center. The event is being sponsored by the Fairlawn High School Athletic Hall of Fame. Again, December 5th at 7 o'clock. And obviously, I'll be talking about sports psychology and for athletes. So, of course, bring your questions. Right now, we're talking with longtime running coach Joel Pasternak, and we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. And speaking of Joel, speaking of Fairlawn, let's go to Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
How are you?
Good, Jack. Welcome.
Great topic, Joel. I'm telling you that you talked. First of all, let me ask you this question. Are you a doctor follower, or do you do your own thing? Because you said you had a knee replacement. I've had 16 knee surgeries in my lifetime, and my knees have been replaced three times. My right one twice, and my right one twice, and my left one once. But my doctor tells me don't run. I mean, because of the pounding on the ground. I mean, I know that, you know, running with the right gait, you limit your pounding. You know, I've been a phys ed teacher for 42 years. I'm retiring in about 5 weeks. And one of the things I've taught my kids, Rick talked about it at the beginning of the show, you know, running for life, running for exercise. Two things. One, I teach my kids this. I said, take care of your body now, and your body will take care of you later. And also, you know, when you talk about and you watch these football coaches and even soccer coaches, and this I do not understand. I learned it not really later in my coaching life, coaching career, but basically earlier. Never punish a kid by making him run. Why would you do that? Why would you punish a kid by making mm-hmm. him run, teaching him that it's not a good thing. So it's
right.
a punishment. So
very
I don't
good
get
thought.
It.
Yep, but amazing, Jack, what you've been through. And doctors aren't crazy about having people continue after knee replacements. It's really up to the individual, like you said, being careful, the right shoes. I think the cross-training is very important and extending that life of your running, watching your weight, nutrition plays a big part. Do you still run now a little, Jack?
Well, he basically, because of my knees, my activity level, you know, like I said, I've been a phys ed teacher for 42 years. I've been a coach for 42 years, and I still coach. I still lift. So I use the alternative route. I use a machine, and right now I'm on an elliptical. I run about between 25 and 45 minutes a night, and, it's something that I'm very comfortable with. But I do, you know, I do miss the outdoor running, the scenery, the, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll throw a game on TV and watch, you know, a 9-inning game while I'm on the elliptical. I mean, and I, like you said, I don't get my heart rate up so high that, you know, I can't breathe. But,
right.
You know, and I'm a baseball player, you know, baseball person like Rick. And one mm-hmm. of the things I remember, the five tools of baseball. And this is something that I disagreed with my whole life. They say that speed is the one tool that you can't teach. But you can, because you can't take a 7-second 60 runner and get him down to 6 seconds, but you can take a 7-second 60 runner and get him down to 6-8, you know, by just
right.
teaching him the proper techniques, the running
exactly.
gait, the, you know, what you do with your hands.
Yep. Okay, Jack. Well,
Jack, I had no idea you'd gone through all these surgeries,
wow.
but I'm glad, I saw you the other day
yeah.
over in Montclair. You look like you're fit and fiddle, and obviously, mm-hmm. as you said, it's good advice to tell youngsters, you take care of your body when you're young, you'll take care of you as you get older. Jack, as always, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jack. Good info.
Thank
you're
you.
More than welcome, Joel. Thank you. Rick, I'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Thank you. And Joel, that's, you know... yeah, I mean, it is curious that, you know, when it comes to running, and Jack just sort of mentioned this at the end, yeah, you can teach kids to get faster. You're not going to make them perhaps, if you're a kid with average speed in high school, you can work with them and improve their techniques and style to get them to improve their running times. You may not be able to transform them into an Olympic hopeful, but you can certainly make them run faster, correct?
Well, that's something that I talk to my runners a lot about. Everybody's given a certain amount of fast twitch and slow twitch fibers.
Right.
Your athlete, like a Usain Bolt, who's the world's greatest 100-meter, 200-meter runner, probably has 90% fast twitch and 10% slow twitch. He's not going to run a marathon or a 10K. You give someone else who has the opposite of more slow twitch, they're going to be able to, but they can increase their speed with right technique, right drills, so you can get a little faster by doing the right drills.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you, Joel, do you, when you work with kids, is there a particular, I don't know, a video program or technique or book you recommend to kids who want to learn, or to their parents, and how to improve one's speed?
Well, in the clinics I give and the programs I do, I impress upon them that before their kids think about doing things fast, build up their endurance, walking, running. With the kids, I play all kinds of games. They have to run a minute around the track, walk a minute, run a minute. So they don't realize before they know it, they've gone over a mile or two. But there are some good books. Mark Bloom has written some good books on youth runners, a coach and teacher from New Jersey. And you can look up Mark Bloom and youth runners. And again, getting the kids involved in a good recreation or middle school program is very important. Hopefully they have the right instructors to bring the kids along the right way, because many times I've been at the parks coaching and a parent will bring their kid there and they'll say, okay, I want to see how fast you can run around the track. Well, whatever happened to stretching and some drills and getting them prepared before they do this around the track? That's like someone lifting 20 pounds, and then they say, okay, we're going to go and jump up to 100 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not the way to do it. And
no.
That's a big thing that I work on, teaching the parents of being careful and bringing the kids along in the proper progression.
Yeah, progression is the word I was just going to use. It has to be sort of gradual. You just can't say, okay, here I am, let's go out and just sprint as fast as you can. And just say, if the endurance isn't there, the stamina has not been built up, it's just not going to work. Now, Joel, because our time is unfortunately running out, you mentioned, of course, about the running shoes and how important that is. Tell our listeners, you know, again, if you're a parent and you have of a kid who wants to become a runner, how important are the running shoes, and what they should be looking for when they buy a pair?
Okay, well, the number one thing I suggest is anyone who's going to buy a new pair of running shoes does it in mid to late day. You want your foot to be a little been on the ground walking around, so it's more a little, the foot gets swollen as the day goes on a little bit. So by buying your sneaker earlier in the day, you're going to need a little more room. So you want to buy the shoe a little bit further into the day. You want about a thumbnail length, probably about a thumbnail length when you stand up and try on the sneakers. You don't want to buy the sneaker for the fashion and what it looks like. You want to buy it for the comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try different pairs on. You want to jog around the store. Also, one thing that I've impressed upon people is the insoles that come with most running shoes are very flimsy. They're probably made for about 50 cents. And even though you might be spending $100, $200 on a pair of good cushion shoes, I suggest you get your own insert, something you can buy in the drugstore for $10, $15. And that's going to give you a lot more support for your arch and cushioning. So that's something that I impress upon all my runners, even myself.
And how does a youngster know when the shoe is basically, you know, outlived its life expectations? In other words, what do you know it's time to get a new pair?
Usually the insert will go sooner. You'll start feeling a little knee issues. You'll start feeling a little back issues. You'll see wearing. You have to look at the corners of the heels and the wearing. And if the wearing starts getting at a very deep angle to where you're not running efficiently, you're running more on the heel area and you're not running on the full across the back heel area, that's a sign of the shoes wearing out. Most shoes you should get anywhere from 200 to 300 miles, depending on the size of the person running and where they run. If they're running a lot in the grass, tracks, their shoes aren't going to wear out as fast as running on the roads and the sidewalks.
And Joel, as one last question, again, my guest has been Joel Pasternak today. Joel, you know, you've been running all your life. What would you do today differently than perhaps you did when you were a teenager in terms of running?
That's a great question, because I'm asked that all the time. Like you brought up that I've run 127,000 miles. Maybe some of the knee surgeries could have been later in life. I wouldn't have done as much mileage, but growing up in the 70s and watching Bill Rogers, Frank Shorter, Tom Fleming, being associated with them, running with Tom Fleming for 20 years, the winner of the New York City Marathon in 73 and 75, who was running 140 miles a week. He did that for 10 years. And I think I would have been better off running less mileage and doing some more cross training, did very little weight training, and doing more speed work, doing more intervals. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, this VO2 max
yes.
can be increased. Okay, you can get a higher VO2 max if you, one, keep doing your endurance and doing it 75% so you don't wear yourself out, and two, doing a certain type of interval work to where you're running for 2-3 minutes at a good pace, not at an all-out pace, just something a little bit faster. Like, say you race a five-minute mile, 75 seconds for one lap of a track. Well, then you go out and you run a 73-second lap of the track, just a little bit faster, and that'll help increase your VO2 max.
So basically, you mentioned that, you know, kids today to consider as supplementary to their running practice, obviously to do some weight training, to consider maybe some swimming to help their overall physical stamina. And as you said, just to go out and run, you know, hundreds of miles a week isn't necessarily going to be productive in terms of getting them to run faster. To be smart about how many miles they do. And how they go about in terms of interval training as well, correct?
Exactly. And like we started the show with Caitlin Toohey,
yes.
the coaches do not allow her to run more than 45 miles a week. There's high school kids I know of at schools doing 70, 80 miles a week, 60, 70 miles a week in the summer, and shin splints, knee problems. Caitlin's going along at a great way. She does core work. I mean, after she runs maybe a 6-7 mile run, she's another 45 minutes in the gym. Core work, flexibility, works on her leg strength. So she's an all-around strength athlete, and that's why I think we're going to see great things from her. But again, who knows what lies ahead of her with her body changing, like Mary Kane.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, this is just fascinating stuff, Joel. And I thank you for coming on
well, thanks
New York
for having
City
me
Marathon.
On. It's and again, a great
folks,
time.
Joel Pasternak, again, you can check him out and get more information if you're interested in working, having Joel work with your youngsters as running, or even for yourself as an adult, joelrun.com. Joel, thanks again. We'll talk to you again soon.
Rick Wolf, Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
I just want to take a moment to recap some of the thoughts and comments that Joel passed along this morning because, you know, running, of course, when kids just start out playing sports, obviously, the running seems to be a very, very natural and obviously common kind of approach. But if you become a serious runner as you go through your middle school and high school years, and obviously you want to be a competitive runner, you know, there are things, as Joel mentioned, running is something that you want to basically look at in a long view, a long life perspective. You want to be able to run as you go on to finish high school and maybe into college and beyond. But it's a skill, it's a sport, it's a passion that you want to stay with because it's good for your body, it's good for your mind, it's good for all parts of your soul. But again, just to recap what Joel said, I think it really is worth bearing in mind. One, if your kid is a runner, go out and make sure you get some good coaching advice on how to develop him or her when it comes to long-distance running. Joel said, again, but the high school air, you know, more running more miles is not necessarily a good advice. You know, you want to make sure that the miles you do during a week are smart. You do interval training, core and physical stretch training. That's important. You know, for any youngster, the stretching in particular, both before and afterwards, after your run. And again, the physical lifting, that's important. And as you mentioned, you know, Caitlin Tui, who is the preeminent runner right now out of in this area in high school, you know, she swims to help build up more of her physical endurance and stamina. I think these are all new and different comments when it comes to developing good runners. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of The Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Brian Roscona, who's got a ball game out at Eisenhower Park. Go get him, Brian. I'll see you next week right here on The Sports Edge.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.